Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever it happens to be, GWA Backstage. Welcome to another episode of Stranded in Paradise. I have left my Brits behind, gone back to the good old United States. And this week, I'm very, very lucky to welcome insert name TBD to be here. Hello.
You got it wrong.
I did because I always get it wrong,
That's
so.
okay. You could just call me insert. It's a whole lot easier.
It is.
Insert name here, TBD. There's
Let's just drop that here.
actually a whole long story about
Oh,
that.
go ahead. We love long stories.
I'm a big fan of Terry Pratchett, and in his Discworld series, there's a police officer whose wife keeps giving him a disorganizer, which is a demon-powered little thing that, is supposed to straighten his life out and keep everything straight. And he refuses to read the manual and ends up usually throwing them in the trash most of the time. But the little demon inside gets very upset at him a couple of times, and he's like, "Look, this is the Mark 12. I need to know what your name is. I can't keep calling you insert name here." And that stuck with me.
Kind of want to start this episode with bingley bingley boop.
Yes.
There we go. Awesome. So, I need to give you your brief as we start episodes with letting you know just how the land lies before you tell me how your land lies. So, unforeseen circumstances have led to your unfortunately indefinite isolation in this paradise. You, of course, were foresighted enough to have basic supplies, some tools and rations, and a few luxuries, but you have no idea where you have ended up. So the first thing really is whether it's fictional or make-believe or somewhere like real on planet Earth, what is paradise to you? Where have you ended up?
The land is good. That's all I can tell you, because the first thing I got here, I looked at the dirt and it's very rich. It's very suited for growing stuff, which is good because I'm not that good at hunting.
Have to go vegetarian, you think?
No, I will have some meat, but I refuse to fish because I don't like the taste of fish, so
Oh, and fish is just so much easier to catch than squirrels.
Yes, but on the other hand, I do know actually how to make snares and stuff, so yay.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, but it's deciduous forest. Sounds like there's a stream or something in the distance. I hope it's a river. I like rivers.
You can have a river. I mean, Bear gave himself a castle. If you want a river, you can have
Yes, but
a
I can't see it, so I'd
Okay.
have to walk over there and see and.
All right. That's fine. That's fine by me.
We'll see if it comes up.
All right. Let's see if it comes up. That's
Although
fine.
hopefully the river doesn't come up, because that would mean I'd be all wet.
You don't want to build your shelter on low ground here at
Oh
the
no. I did that once. It was a bad experience.
Okay, so deciduous forest. Is it what's the climate like?
Current temperature seems to be a little bit less than skin temperature, so I would say probably comfortable for being naked. Good thing I wore clothes. However, I do not know about the weather swings here, but currently it seems to be very comfortable.
Right. Are you somebody who prefers a particular climate, do you think?
I can make do with anything except for freezing cold. I really don't like cold. I build big fires when I get cold. That's my thing. I'm like, yes.
You the kind of person that ends up spending most of the winter in as many clothes as possible? Or do you rely on
No.
the fires?
I rely on fires. I've given up trying to layer because I always end up feeling hot and uncomfortable. So I put up with cold when it's cold outside, but I make every effort to get back inside as fast as possible.
I always get stuck. If I'm not a very tall person, so if I end up layering, I always end up not being able to move very easily. You get kind of an image of Maggie in The Simpsons being put in her starfish onesie and sat on the sofa where she can't move.
That
I always think
actually,
of like.
the image that comes to mind when you say that is actually a little bit more old school. I'm thinking of the brother in what is that? The Christmas Story.
Oh,
Oh. the Red Ryder BB gun. The little kid's like, you know, his mother dresses him up. To, okay, there you go. And he's like, I can't lower my arms.
That's me in winter. That's, I don't remember. I say winter. There? British, we don't really have winter.
Yes, you do.
It gets cold for a few days, and then it just gets wet again. That's
well, fine. You certainly don't have, you know, 10 feet of snow, but, you know, no, there are seasons.
That is true. Although, we could get snowed in 1 year, and the meter for the electricity was on the outside of the house. Nothing in Britain is made to withstand extreme weather, whether that's hot or cold. And so we got sort of 2 or 3 feet of snow, which is unusual, seaside town. And the electricity meter box froze and broke. So we had no power or heating for the 3 days that we stuck in the house with no way of people getting to us.
So what we've learned here is that electricity in Britain needs to be warm.
Yes. Yes, that would be good. Given that we have a rail system that shuts down if a leaf falls on the track, I think, you know, we could probably do to stand with a little bit better infrastructure, frankly, but, yeah.
Don't talk to me about U.S. infrastructure.
Because we had
a great push. We built roads and rivers everywhere, and then we just stopped somewhere around 1960. It's like, you know, let's just patch it.
Like a kid with a really short attention span. Oh, a butterfly. Let's move on. Okay, fab. I'm so sorry.
Who are you again? What are we doing? Where am I?
I've no idea. You're telling me. We're in a deciduous forest, apparently. Well, that's fine.
That's true.
Great. So, with all the kind of time on your hands, and you've got a kind of like a medium to short to medium term supply of food, whatever it is that you've ended up stranded with, what kind of shelter do you build?
Well, considering it's a deciduous forest and it's rather comfortable at the moment, I would probably stick with a log cabin.
Just throw it up.
Because they're easy to build, really. I mean, as long as you... Well, one person can build a cabin for one. It's not difficult. No, let me back that up. It's difficult if you have no idea what you're doing.
I was going to say, I'm not sure I could do it.
I've been called many things throughout my life. History buff, you know, I love working with my hands. So taking on a challenge such as building an actual log cabin, I think I could do that.
You're easily in good hands, then. That's fine. Good. If you're going to build a log cabin, and I think it's probably the second or third log cabin we've had on Stranded, what's the most important thing for your shelter? Whether it's something inside or the shape of it or kind of what you consider home comfort. Inside the shelter, what is it that's in it that's important?
The bed.
Yeah.
I love to be comfortable when I'm sleeping. I will spend 6 months building myself a bed. I'm building myself a bed right now. So, yes, I'm, yes.
Yes, fine.
Give me a good bed. I don't care.
Is it space you're after or just the comfort?
Comfort level, mostly, because part of it is I've had a history of injuring myself in my spinal area, so... I really don't want that to get any worse.
No.
It's always bad when you wake up in the morning and you go to move and you realize that every single muscle along your spine has decided to say, no, you're not moving today. I avoid that as much as possible. And one of the things that's really good about that is just, hey, look, a good bed. Yay!
fine. That would be, I think, probably the thing that I would most agree with. I can't bear the thought of not being comfortable at night. It's abhorrent. So much so that as much as camping as I used to do when I was a lot younger, now I actually balk at the idea of having to sleep on the ground. It's awful.
I did actually do a lot of camping when I was younger, and I would do it again. I just happen to be married to someone who's absolutely... delectable to bugs.
what a convenient excuse.
It's not an excuse. I she can't even stay outside when it comes to, like, you know, slightly towards dusk. All of a sudden, she's like, you know, I look at her and she's like starting to welt on her arms. I'm like, did you see that? Did something bit you?
So, given that you have your deciduous forest and your temperate climate, let's call it a temperate climate.
That sounds good.
If you can tame one animal in your kind of environment from the wild, and you can tell me what's there, like this kind of all the wild creatures from this forest. If you could tame one as your pet slash companion, what would you tame?
See, that's an interesting question because I'm not really sure I would want to subject an animal to my company.
Oh, this is going to go very badly in about three questions time.
No. I you know what? I would go, and I'm going to say this because this is one of my secret powers in real life.
Right.
I'm going to say Felis domesticus.
Right.
Regular old, normal, everyday cat, because they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get them when they're small enough, they will be at least highly tolerable of your existence.
Then that's it. That's right. I mean, I suppose that would help keep rodents and stuff away from you.
Yes, and that's only half of the reason. The other half is because, I mean, one of the most creature comforts I can ever imagine is cuddling a tiny little ball of fur and listening to the tiniest possible little purr. It's just like, I don't care how big and powerful you think you are, if you are completely alone and you are cuddling a little kitten that's purring, it's going to make you feel good.
You're losing all your street cred as you talk. You know that, right?
I have street cred?
You did before you started. It's all going down the drain now.
Wow. That's so cool.
I've just got this image of you cuddling this tiny kitten. It's amazing. I mean, Wicked had bunnies, so I suppose it's a step up from there.
No. think about this. You know, what was his name? Dr. Evil had a cat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's someone you want to align yourself with spiritually.
Not really. I just kind of like cats. I'm a cat whisperer. That's one of my superpowers.
Somebody needs to be, because I'm not.
I rescued a feral cat from outside.
Right.
And now I can't get her to leave me alone.
Well, that'll happen. If you send them a little bit of love. And,
she's all over me. But you know what? She doesn't like my wife. She's like, yeah, you're okay, but stay over there. Me? She's like, I will follow you.
Everywhere. Just can't. In between your feet. That's all the time. If you are coming to kind of this kind of environment where you're on your own, but you had enough time, conveniently enough, to download two audios from GWA to bring with you on like an iPod or something, which two audios would you bring into the wilderness with you?
Oh, yes. I am not going to be very nice about this.
Okay.
Because one of them is mine.
Okay.
The number one audio that always gets me going, so to speak, is actually a collab I did with Higher Desire.
Right, yeah.
I put a lot of myself into that little... it has hardly any listens compared to some of the stuff that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. I mean, it comes like... Nobody listened to it. I listened to it like six times, so I'm six of those numbers.
That was part of your series, your traveling series.
Yes, Inserts Adventures, which I think I'm still wandering around somewhere. We never actually recorded the homecoming, which is supposed to be the end. But, well, we forgot.
Right.
So I'm wandering the world. I don't know where I am right now. I'm just sort of hanging out. Maybe after this I can say that, oh, well, I was stranded on an island. It's deciduous forest somewhere.
Ah, yes. Well, maybe she'll come out to you. It's a paradise, right? So maybe there's no mosquitoes here.
Although,
that said, if I remember correctly, chose to strand herself on a desert island with a tiki hut and a margarita machine. So
yes, and some sort of magic ice machine. I don't know. And a harem. She had a harem.
She did. She very much did.
It's horrible. I mean, you know, that's just so much testosterone. She's going to be tripping over it. I mean,
I'm tripping over something. Okay, so that's your first one. That's fine.
My second recording is Little Out There. Mm-hmm. Because I do not speak Russian.
Right.
But, yet again, Higher did a recording 100-1 in Russian.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe it was a 1-100. I can't remember. But it was counting in Russian. It was hot. I'm sorry. I don't speak Russian. And honestly, until I heard that, I would not have said Russian is a sexy language.
Right.
And then I heard that and I was like, wow.
There's a thing, isn't there? I have to admit to you.
Yes. Okay. You can have whatever you like to eat, sweetie.
Is this a good point to tell you I'm doing a blooper reel?
Oh, sure. kid's crazy. She's just, you know, at least she asks.
Fine. It's good. It's good. What was I going to say? Oh, yes. Foreign languages. I have to admit to being a big fan of foreign language audios that get posted. Sometimes it doesn't even really matter what's being said. It's just nice to hear people kind of being relaxed and natural in a language that I don't speak. So that's good. Fab. Okay. So that's nice and easy. It leads me on to the next one, though. Given that LA had her harem, who do you think you'd have stranded with you and brought into this paradise with you? Two people.
Uh-huh. Two people. Two people to bring with me.
For whatever reasons you want to bring with you. I mean, there's people choose other community members for different reasons. So it really depends on what you want to get out of that kind of.
Well, okay, this is paradise. And I'm going to assume that because it's paradise and I'm married and she has a harem, that I don't have to pick her.
She didn't pick you.
No. So I am going to choose for my first trick. I would actually be very happy to bring some of the North with me. I'm going to choose a Canadian.
Uh-huh.
Little girl interrupted.
I think that might be her second stranding. I'm going to have to get on here.
Huh.
She's going to have to get a second break. Yes, I think it is. Uh-huh. I think it is her second stranding. Okay.
Wonderful. Yes, she's absolutely adorable. We've had a couple of conversations. She actually gave me an idea for an audio. So we were sort of fleshing it out together, and we ended up Skyping. It's just hilarious. She's funny and sexy. So, yeah, there we get the sexy covered. But I like to talk to people, and she's a very good conversationalist. Not unlike my host here.
Oh, buttering up the GM. I see what you're doing.
Why not? I've got butter. I might as well use it.
Oh, that is true. That is true.
But and for my second choice, I'm actually going to pick a guy.
Uh-huh.
A guy who I have had actually several good conversations with. I'm actually interested in dragging along LB.
Hmm.
Lady Boner Throw 86.
Now he can't take his revenge because he's already been stranded.
Yes.
Yeah, good. Excellent. Okay, so
He knows how to use sharp things, so you know that would come in handy. without civilization.
He does, so. And since he built himself a log cabin, he already has experience. So,
well, there we go.
You can build your log cabin together. That's a bit of a bromance already developing. In my mind, anyway.
Oh, yeah, it's been there quite a bit.
Lovely. Okay, so in this forest of deciduousness, which sounds do you think might keep you awake on at night?
Crickets, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, to a certain extent, I should say, because. I don't exactly live in the wilds, but it would take me quite a bit to get used to crickets again.
Mm.
That's probably the only thing that would end up keeping me awake, but only for a little bit. Mm. I'm very good at adapting to sounds like that. I can fall asleep just about anywhere at any time, so yay. Mm.
That was going to be my next question, actually. Kind of, is that something that you would get used to? Can you kind of get into a point where it's not going to bother you anymore? Or
absolutely.
So, what would you find soothing, kind of on the opposite end of that spectrum?
The sound of that little stream or river in the distance that I can hear. That's awesome. I like that.
It's funny how many people pick water. As a soothing noise, it's quite an interesting kind of social experiment sometimes when I do these. For people to answer along the same veins in very particular questions. And that's one of them. For people to say, what's soothing in your environment? Almost everyone says water. What do you...
I would say leaves in the wind, but in the winter I wouldn't have that. And also, if the wind blows too hard, I'd be worried more about something falling, so...
Oh, yeah. Okay. So if we talk about weather then, what storm preparations would you make if you could kind of feel it on the wind that there was really going to be a big storm kicking up? What kind of preparations would you make, if any? I mean, you've got a fairly solid cabin.
But... I just batten down the hatches. That's all. Lay in firewood if it's closer to, you know, cold time, because... I don't want to be cold. but yeah, that's one of the advantages of having a very solidly built structure around you. You don't have to worry as much, you know, if it's built right and say a giant tree falls over on the cabin, well, the worst that happens is you got to rebuild the roof. I mean, the walls aren't going to collapse. Unless they're rotten, in which case you picked the wrong logs to build with.
If you've gotten a rotten log cabin, you've been there too long.
Yes. Or you didn't take care of it properly, because, you know, the logs will rot eventually unless you take care of them. It is actually dead wood, so.
Yeah, that is true. Grow mushrooms on the outside is not going to do your cabin any good at all.
No, but the ambiance would be interesting. It's like, I need a little sauce for the soup. Here, grab one of the yellow ones on the west side.
we'd go from cozy to creepy pretty fast, I think.
Yeah.
Like, creepy cabin in the woods.
Governor, I can be creepy.
Please don't be creepy.
While I'm petting my kitten.
Yeah. That's what it, please don't be creepy while you've got your tiny kitten purring in your lap. This is a horrific image that we're starting to build here. You're a pretty handy person. Do you think if you could devise a way to generate power?
Oh, I could, given natural resources. It's not hard. It's just, you know, you kind of need copper.
Mm-hmm.
Copper is kind of a necessity when you're going to build, you know, something that powers something.
Sure.
Or, you know what? Gold would work. I could run gold wires.
Going panning for gold.
No, why not? There's a river over there. Or is it a stream? I don't know. There might be gold, there might not. I don't know.
It's your paradise.
True, but, you know, I'm trying to conform to actual reality here.
Yeah.
No,
you know,
I should.
Snake stranded himself on a whole different planet.
Yes, I do remember. Okay. Yeah, power is weird because, you know, I mean, I'm perfectly at home without electronics or any type of electricity. It's convenient, but I wouldn't necessarily need it, so I don't know if I would.
Is it if you chose to, if you had all the stuff there and thought, well, we might as well, what do you think you would use that for?
Refrigeration.
All right.
Keeping food good longer. That's you can do that without, because water coming out of the ground is still pretty cold to begin with. You can actually submerge stuff in the stream, but then you have to worry about the fish eating it, so.
Well, fair enough.
And I won't eat the fish, so, oh well.
Is it really, like, if you were, is it a distaste or a real dislike?
It's just, I don't like it. I mean, given a starvation situation, I would eat it.
Right.
I do know how to clean a fish. Never really used it for fish that I put in my mouth, but I've cleaned it for other people.
That cat's going to be really happy. You're catching fish and cleaning it, and then the cat just gets to eat it because you don't want to. Well, that's fair enough. I don't know how LG and LB... Oh, that would get confusing. Feel about fish? Maybe they do the fish.
It won't be confusing. One has lovely flowing locks, and one I can rub and wish for things.
He does have a very shiny head.
It is shiny, and it's
very true.
It's very attractive on him. I'm not into guys, but you know it works for him.
Let's see. With like a head you can buff.
I could not pull that off.
Oh, now we have shiny head jealousy. Good. Trend setting. All right, so do you
think... It's pretty.
You're going, oh, I've just got images of you, like, pulling out magic markers and colouring in bits of his head.
You know what? I did not pack any magic markers. We're good.
Okay, good. Fine. No berry juice. It's fine. like an Easter egg. Little pixie.
Oh, that would be, that's a horrible image, but it's so funny.
Well, since, he's gonna kill me. Oh, God.
You, I'm the one that picked him.
You didn't make his head an Easter egg. We're all good. Shh, no one's going to, he's not going to listen to this, right? No one tell him. We're fine. It ties in quite nicely to this question, I think. Since you're stuck here, do you think it's more important to entertain yourselves? Berry juice and shiny heads aside. develop new skills.
Skills, yes. I think each person should, you know, teach each other as much as they can about the different... You know, like, I mean, I'm very good with my hands. I'm not certain... that either of my partners here are very, or at least up to my standard of you know, being able to create things out of whatever you have around you. Mm-hmm. So that being said, I think that everybody should share the skills and learn from each other.
What would you hope to learn from them?
I don't know. LB's got that like, quirky face, like, stare, where he's like, you know, just an intimidating stare. And he gets all the lip movements and the eyebrow, and he's like,
I am desperate to know what his reaction to your impression of him is. I have to know.
Oh, that wasn't an impression. That's my interpretation. An impression would be completely different.
And how would that go?
Oh.
Let's try. Okay, good.
No. You could not do that, Lady Ara.
Oh my God.
I can't do it.
We're all gonna be burned in our sleep. Oh God, he's gonna hunt us down. That's fine. We're all good. I might edit that.
He can't hunt you down. He's stuck out with me in paradise.
We might just leave him there. I think he'll be fine. okay, so if you have the tools needed to whittle wood,
Yes, I do, of course.
You always have the tools to whittle everything. What would you make whittling wood?
What wouldn't I make? I mean, you can make almost anything out of wood. I'd make a trebuchet, probably. Just for the fun of it. I like
That's
trebuchets.
beautiful.
They're I mean, how much more fun can you get? It's like, let's build an engine to throw rocks. Well, how far do they go? Well, how far do you want them to go? We just make it bigger. We could throw them, you know, for a mile. Go.
Wow.
I don't like these rocks
destroying
here.
The forest. Oh, goodness
it's
me.
Like, I don't like these rocks here. I want my garden to be right here. I will move them.
Would you make yourself
3 months
a garden?
later.
Oh, yeah, I suppose if you're going to be growing crops and stuff. Would
Oh,
you
yeah.
grow, would you also grow flowers? Things like that? Like for prettiness?
I like irises.
That's very specific.
Well, I have a reason for it. Partly because you can get some really awesome colors just by planting different varieties right next to each other. And they exchange genetic information because they're right next to each other. And the next year, one or two of them will have different colors. Growing up, I had a neighbor who had probably about, it was like a 2 foot strip, but the length of her driveway, which was about 60, 80 feet. So it was like, you know, 2 by 80. And it was, the whole thing was just very thickly planted with irises. And she always thinned them out so new ones grew. And I do not know what she started with, but every year there were different colors that it was just, over the years, as I remember it, there were different ones that popped up, different types of blending of two colors, you know, reds and blues and whites and blues and blues and blues and, you know, just different. They're awesome. And she did nothing more than just trim out the ones at the end of the season and let more grow. So lots of color, little effort. I'm there.
Well, that's good. I don't know that irises are particularly useful for anything else. I don't think you can eat them, I think.
No.
Okay. So
just a flower. I mean, I wasn't going for food there. I was going for color.
No. Some flowers you can eat. I'm not sure that you get much nutritional value from them, but nasturtiums taste good. How do you go about testing unfamiliar foods for safety? Do you come across something?
I would say, considering it's a deciduous forest, and I'm assuming it's somewhere in North America because I recognize most of the species, I wouldn't really have to look that hard. Because I do actually have quite a bit of knowledge stored in my head about the edible plants in this area.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah, I had a lot of that stuff crammed into my head as a kid. I was not a Boy Scout.
No?
No. No. My church had it. had that version. You know, it was like they asked the Boy Scouts. They said, can we borrow some of this? And the Boy Scouts are like, okay. And they basically just, there's points where they copied word from word from the Boy Scout manual.
Oh, wow. Well, that's
They took a lot of it, you know, and they just basically, they'd like to joke that they were Boy Scouts, but with a better leader.
Wow. That, wow.
Yeah. That being said, you know, I do have a lot of the knowledge still in my head. So it's,
well, fair enough. And maybe one day it will come in useful should you find yourself stranded with LB.
I walk around my backyard and pick plants and put them in my face. And my wife is like, what are you eating? And I'm like, lamb's quarters. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what is that? I'm like, it's kind of like wild spinach. Oh, don't do that when I can see you. Why? She's like, you're just keep walking around picking weeds and shoving them in your face. That's just weird. It's not weird. It's knowledgeable.
I think there's a line. I sometimes take groups of kids out and teach them about wildlife and wild things out in the forest. I really have to stop them eating the wild garlic. Not that because it's not edible, but just because it's growing in the middle of London. And you just don't know what's on those beams. Okay, so talking about kind of being self-sustaining and having kind of growing natural things and whatnot. Given that you may well not choose to generate power, what non-technological form of entertainment would you like as a luxury to have with you?
The complete works of Shakespeare. Because a lot of those you can actually get away with two or three actors.
Oh, so you'd be like doing little kind of reenacting.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's good literature.
Mm-hmm.
It's plays, which means that, you know, you can take specific parts and they're written so that people can read them. And it's not a lot of internal monologuing. It's always external.
Yeah.
Let's just have the main character stand in the middle of the stage and look thoughtful for 5 minutes.
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, as you stand on your front porch of your log cabin and eulogize, monologue. You're turning into a monologue. Bad guy very quickly. You're standing on porches monologuing and growing mushrooms on the outside of your cabin.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Have you considered doing historical Shakespeare?
Not as such. It's one of those things. I mean, it's written well. It's something I think I could perform because I have in the past, I have actually gotten on a stage and performed. But I'm a little bit more ad-libby than most people like.
I
forge my own path. The script is just there as a kind of a guideline, right?
That's how we do it at GWA.
Yeah. No, but as far as, you know, actual production Shakespeare, probably not. But, you know, I might do an adaption, maybe, someday, for GWA.
A particular kind of adaption. Yeah, I've walked that path. It was fun.
Actually, I would probably go, if I was going to do that for GWA, I wouldn't go to Shakespeare. I would go to something a little bit sooner, but probably still in your neck of the woods. I'd be doing some Sherlock.
Oh, lovely. Very lovely.
Holmes. Yeah,
still, I guessed. So relatively not at all recent, but good. Okay.
Well, it's more recent than Shakespeare.
It's all relative. It's all history. It's all in the past. How might you go about getting a message out to people to say that you were stranded where you are?
Well, then we have two scenarios. One with power, one without.
Mm.
First one with power, I'd figure out how to make a radio signal.
Right.
Crystal radios, the theory is pretty basic as far as electricity goes. If I can find quartz, I can make a crystal. I can't quite make it unless I have a lot of power behind it, because otherwise it's going to be a really horrible signal, but somebody will hear it. Considering the amount of governments that listen for weird signals, they'd hear me. And without electricity, I'd probably, if I wanted to get word to the outside and somehow, I'd use fire. Fire's really good. You set fire to something, you know, it could be out in the middle of nowhere, somebody comes looking and says, well, what's burning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think fire traditionally, like historically, has been like a massive point of communication for human beings. So I think really there's something kind of coded into us to look for fire and pay attention to it. Not just for communication, but also in terms of danger. So I think you're likely to get somebody's attention.
That's what I was going to say. It's very dangerous stuff. I mean, it will hurt, you know. And, you know, a fire, if it gets loose, especially in an area where, you know, there's ample fuel, it can go faster than a man can run.
Mm-hmm.
And given the right weather conditions, it can literally lay waste to, you know, hundreds of acres.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just, you know, boom, gone. Mm-hmm. What was here? Well, it used to be prairie, but...
I find those plants that need forest fires to germinate fascinating.
Yes. There's several different conifers that do that. Mm. It's kind of weird that, you know, they've developed the ability to reproduce based on the whole forest burning down.
I think that's really good. I think it's sort of a nice metaphor, actually, that things thrive after essential disaster. I think it's really good.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is rapidly becoming one of my favorite questions, actually. Who do you think, in your little trio of people in your log cabin, who do you think would emerge as the leader of your group should the need arise? And if you wanted it, how would you go about claiming that role?
I think I'm a top. but LB's a top too.
I was going to say, it's nice on me.
This is one of those, I think it would depend on the need for the leader. I think if it's something that the person is more comfortable with, then that person should take the lead. I'm well aware of the fact that I am not everything. I don't know everything. Mm. Or rather, I do know everything. I just can't remember it all at once. That's the problem. But yeah, I mean, if it's something like a physical threat, rampaging wolverines or something, you know, whoever is closest and, you know, feels comfortable hitting a furry creature, go for it.
Right.
Tell us what we should do, please.
I'll take a sharp stick at a wolverine. I have that image. Where's the cat? The cat needs to get involved in the situation. The cat's going to be the leader, isn't it?
We're going to let the cat boss us around.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, as far as leadership goes, it should be, considering they're here with me, I would assume that they're going to blame me, so I need to gain their trust. If they don't blame me, then they should, but no. I'm perfectly capable of admitting that I can be led. It just needs to be the right situation.
Mm-hmm. I've
never
yourself...
encountered that in my personal life.
Just cross that bridge when you can't. Do you consider yourself a diplomatic person?
That depends on if the person I'm trying to be a diplomat to is an asshole. If they are, then no, I'm kind of a dick.
Right.
But yeah, no, I do look for compromise and... communication. Compromise and communication. My choice words for my dictatorship. It's not going to be a dictatorship for long, but...
No, you can hang on to that dream. That's okay. One day you'll, you know, rule the world. Well, that's more clearing in that forest anyway. What guilty pleasure might you have with you in your kind of pack of luxuries that you'd want to keep away from the others?
Keep away from the others.
Just keep to yourself.
See, then I can't say rope because I wouldn't want to keep the rope away from LG because, well, she'd be wearing it.
Right. She feels about that, but that's fine.
And two male, virile, strong, moderately attractive men staring at her. Licking their lips. Yeah, she'll roll over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you she's like going to get like... back at me for that one.
You like to be so very diplomatic on this show. Good. LG,
I said I could be diplomatic.
Come get your own back.
I said I could be diplomatic. I didn't say I was going to be.
I know. There's a... Yes, fine. Good. Okay, so not rope then.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not much for possessions, to be honest.
What about like a food treat, something that
ooh,
is a
food.
Or a battery powered something.
Bacon.
Bacon.
I will
LB
eat all
will
the bacon.
fight. If he smells that bacon, he will fight you.
He can fight me, that's fine, but I get nasty when people look at my bacon cross-eyed.
Bacon showdown.
I even get offended on bacon's behalf when people don't cook it right.
Well, okay, educate this poor European.
Well, no, see, that's everybody has a different opinion, and, you know, my opinion is it should be crispy but not burnt.
Right.
And that's a very fine line.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get that right, especially, you know, if you're doing it over an open fire.
I like, there is a huge difference between European and American bacon. Huge.
Mm.
And with American bacon, I like it to go crispy, but I have a problem when it goes cold, when you get that crumble crunch thing going on. I like the bacon to be able to retain its structure when it loses some of its heat.
No. When it gets a little cold, as it cools down, you want it to go crunch. I don't like it when, like, I bite into a, you know, BLT and like I've got to yank on it because the bacon's not letting go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like there to be a little crack, but I don't like to touch it and for it to crumble. You know, like, there's a fine point between...
Yeah, that's cooking it slightly too long. It's not quite burnt, but it's just a little too crunchy.
A little too dry.
Yeah. No, bacon is excellent. Bacon's almost as good as sex.
Oh, that's a claim.
I said almost. It's definitely not as good, but it's almost as good as sex.
So, I wonder if that's your answer then. I hope not. What are you missing from home?
Oh, what am I missing? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I guess I should say I'm missing my wife.
Well, she'll listen to this, so now's your chance.
Definitely missing my wife.
There you go. And what else are you missing?
thank you for that opening.
I like to make my guests feel comfortable. There you go.
I would have to say the internet.
Mm.
It's. I've always loved learning, and it's fascinating being able to know anything at almost any time. Mm. Just like, you know, I do not know that. I will look it up.
What
30 seconds later, Google is
Google.
My friend.
I love the fact that encyclopedias used to be a thing.
No, I actually, when growing up, I had a entire Encyclopedia Americana in my room.
Mm-hmm.
I had the whole set, even some of the science journals, which I never really opened because there's a lot of technical information for a little kid to get through.
Yes, they're very dense.
Yes, but the rest of it, I enjoy just picking a book at random and opening it up and, oh, what's on this page? There you go. Information distilled into four paragraphs.
Now
go.
You know the history of the Danish flag. Well done.
Yay.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the internet has maybe had an effect on curiosity. Because we don't feel like we need to absorb things. We know that there's a security of knowledge that if we need information, it's right there.
Yeah. And that could be a crutch or a curse or, you know, even, you know, negative or positive, however you want to look at it. But I have never stopped learning my entire life. I love to learn about new things. I'm kind of a serial hobbyist. I pick up something, I learn everything I can to learn about it in, 6 months or so, and then I'm like, oh, look at this. This is a great hobby. I want this hobby. And then, you know, but I retain the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I can see where somebody would look at it as, you know, the information's always going to be there, so I don't need to remember it. Mm-hmm. And they just go on about life being kind of dumb.
Yeah, I think it has a... there's something there about how we access information now. I don't necessarily think it has an effect on our ability to process that information, but it is a different way than the value that we place on on information like that.
It's different retention levels. It's not necessarily comprehension. It's just, you know, well, I don't need to remember that because it's written down. Mm-hmm. And that's probably something that happened when people started actually printing things or writing them down. You know, mm-hmm. Hey, look, well, I don't need to remember this because, well, somebody wrote it down.
Mm-hmm.
What's writing it down? Oh, it's, you know, he put the information there so I can come back to it later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're now discovering another part of that where, you know, we're so far advanced now that nobody really needs to know anything. You just look it up before you need it.
Yeah.
Which means that all those people will end up dying in the woods and I'm going to have my little cabin.
Wow, that was a real I told you so moment there. Smugness. Smug. So do you think if a rescue party found your radio signal or whatever, and they came and found you, do you think you would flag them down and go home? What do you think?
Sure.
You'd stay put?
Sure, I'd go home, I'd, you know, write a book, tell everybody about this wonderful experience I had, and then I'd make all the money from the book, and I'd use it to buy the cabin that I built myself. And then I would kidnap LB and LG and bring them back to the cabin in the woods. Oh, that's so wrong.
Oh, it's so wrong on many levels. Many levels.
It's okay. They wouldn't protest much.
LB would be running ahead of you, I think.
He was,
I think, the only guest to say he wouldn't go back home, I think.
Yes. I have a fondness for society, at least until people talk to me. Generally, when people talk to me, that's when I realize that there's a lot of idiots.
Yes, there
are a lot of idiots. Oh, wow. The world is full of idiots, and they all want to talk to me. Ah.
What's that phrase? Work would be great if I didn't have to deal with the customers.
Yes.
I don't have to work with people. I hear that many times a day, actually, sometimes.
Another corollary of that is... Yeah, another one of that is I would love working here if it wasn't for all the other employees.
Yeah. There are many people that I think I know that would like an office on their own, just be left to get on with their work. I don't like people. I quite like people. I have to put that in as a bit of a devil's advocate. I enjoy, even when somebody is challenging to me, I find that challenge satisfying.
To a point, I will agree with you. To a point, there is that point where I'm just like, boy, this person is just taking up space.
Well, there's a thing about introversion and extroversion. For a long time, it was kind of, I don't know, fashionable to say that you were either an introvert or an extrovert. But over time, I think people have sort of come to realize that the capacity for both is within us.
Oh,
and
yes.
And that actually what you are more likely to find is that social interaction will either drain you or energize you, and it will depend on that and where you are on that spectrum to kind of find out whether or not you are an introvert or an extrovert or have aspects of both. And often I find that particular people will do one or the other for me. So I can spend time with person A, but they drain me. They very much drain my energy, and so
like wet blanket,
like just carrying this thing around. And so I find that I have to limit my exposure to people like that. But on the flip side of that, that some people that I spend time with can really energize me and make me completely extroverted, and so I will seek their company out. And so I think for me, when I find somebody who's challenging, it's just a matter of knowing that that person is going to bring out the introvert in me and is going to drain my kind of social energy reserves to a point where I'm just going, okay, I think you and I need to part ways for a little while.
I suppose in that type of outlook, I am the battery that charges others.
Do you not find that you have your own battery that needs charging or recharging?
Yes, I do. A lot of what does that for me is time by myself, actually working with my hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I charge my battery. But I get a lot of fun out of getting together with a whole bunch of people that I'm friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to specify friends, not family, but friends. And I become the life of the party. Every time, I mean, I have a group of friends that that I talk to that, you know, when I walk in, you know, it's pretty much everybody starts saying, oh, well, now it is that kind of party because he's here. And I'm always just, you know, I'm, you know, let's just take it to not to a dangerous level, but let's take it to the next level. Let's have fun. Let's throw ourselves into it. Let's and everybody ends up, you know, having a great time because I'm throwing myself into it, making, you know, making it a good time. Even if it's just an okay party, it becomes a better party because I want it to be. And I'm not saying that out of a megalomaniac type.
Absolutely not. Neither did I suggest that you were.
But I just realized it sounded pretty self-centered.
I just let you run. You're okay. Don't worry. Okay, so you're going to go home. You're going to have your internet back. So you have your endless resources. So what is it in the internet verse that keeps you coming back to GWA?
See, there's two answers to that question. The first is the correct answer, and the second is the funny answer.
Give us both. We got time.
The correct answer is listening and performing gives me a charge. That's the correct answer. The funny reason, the funny answer is because my wife's there.
Well, fair enough. I'm sure she'll appreciate you saying so.
Honestly, it's the whole thing. I mean, she got into it first. She was like, the whole reason why I have the username I do is because she called me and was like, you know, she called me over to the computer. I'm like, what? And she's like, make an account. I'm like, what are you talking? What am I doing? She's like, I need you to make an account. What is this? Don't ask questions. Just make an account. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, I said, is this the audio site that you were talking about? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, why am I making an account? And she's like, because I want to record with you. And I'm like, oh, okay.
and we appreciate that she did.
Yes. So it's all her fault.
Well, we're happy to blame her for that. That's fine. because it means we get the good stuff, so it's fine. So we keep coming back to GWA, and I think that it's really important that people take what they do from the community and keep contributing to it as long as it kind of brings them energy and brings them joy. So it's good to hear when people say that it does kind of bring that energy back into their kind of presence here, which is great. So,
well, I would say community is really the biggest part. That's honestly one of the things that keeps me coming back.
Yeah.
Community. Everybody, you know, it's a very welcoming place.
It is. We love the new members and old members, really. But yeah.
It's not too old.
I don't know. I don't know. There's room for everybody on GWA.
That's true. That's true.
Thinking, gaming, honestly. So I think you've done very well. You have survived your stranding. Do you know what? I say that at the end of every episode, and I wonder if one day I am just going to kill somebody off. Somebody's going to have to volunteer to be the first person that I don't allow to survive.
You die in the wilderness.
Maybe it's just me. Cap and I were discussing whether or not for some sort of anniversary show he should strand me.
And that would be awesome.
I do wonder whether or not he'd kill me off.
I think you should do that because I think he would make a good host for an honorary stranding.
Well, it's something we're considering, so maybe that'll. Yes. Anyway, you have been an absolute delight. Thank you so much for letting me strand you.
No problem.
And thank you, listeners, for sticking with us for another episode, and we hope to see you again soon. Oh,